Sports Time Radio. All sports, all the time.
Time to roll out the Tuesday edition of Sports Time Radio. I'm the Big Jack. With me is Dan the Man. If you'd like to call into the podcast, 646-478-3753 is the number to do that. If not, feel free to email us, sportstimeradio@hotmail.com. Anything else you need, head on over to sportstimeradio.com. Now, you know, the blogs do pop up over there on Wednesdays and Saturday mornings. Almost to rope myself into having to write another blog. So make sure you swing on over there tomorrow morning to check out what's going on. Of course, while you are at sportstimeradio.com, hit that link, follow it over to the Sports Time Radio Facebook page. If you could like that while you're over there, well, we greatly appreciate that. But don't forget, we also have the Twitter feed, which is at Sports Time Radio. Now, of course, Dan and I are out there on Twitter, too. I am at Burke Time, and Dan the Man is at?
Dan the Man.
So, all right, Dan, I thought this was kind of a humorous story that we kind of ran out of time. I didn't get to yesterday, so I wanted to get your thoughts or your humor on this. You know, I didn't know this guy's name, but there was a basketball player by the name of DJ Cooper. Now, if it doesn't sound familiar, he played at Ohio University from 2009 to 2013. He was undrafted, but he did play with the Wizards in the Summer League in 2016. Now, he spent most of his, you know, most of, or I believe all of his professional career in Europe. And over there, just like over here, they have drug testing. You know, and I mean, I don't know. Have you ever had a job where you've had to take a drug test?
Yeah.
So, yeah, I have actually managed to have these as well, but Cooper had to take his through FIBA, which is the name of the basketball association over there. And not only did he fail, Dan, but apparently he's pregnant.
When they do.
Well, that they don't say, but obviously, apparently, he tried to pass his girlfriend's urine off as his own, and it came up as being pregnant. So I thought that was kind of humorous, because I don't think I've ever heard, you know, I mean, I've heard all the other goofy things, you know, the Vikings running back used the Wizinator, and, you know, I know there's been people who have tried to scam other things, but I believe this is the first guy who's turned up pregnant in a drug test, at least to my knowledge. Do you know anybody else?
No, I mean, how old is he? Does he know? Well, I know people that know some people that, you know, I've been advised that you always use your sex's urine if you're going to go that route.
You would kind of think that would just be common sense, right? I mean, you know, it's like, well, I'm going to fake this blood test or this urine test, and I'm going to use my girlfriend's urine. That just, you know, I mean, the interesting thing that it doesn't say, and what I would like to know is, did they know she was pregnant? So
probably not.
But yeah. You know, and then even Otter, I mean, it's a pretty stiff penalty. He's suspended till June of next year. So that, you know,
he can't play at all.
No, he can't play at all. You know, I would have just kind of figured they would have made him actually take the test with his urine, or, you know, they would have come up with something else. I mean, obviously he knew he was going to fail. But, yeah, I didn't realize the penalties were, you know, that's a relatively extravagant penalty there for that. You know, I know I did see that Tim Beckham just got 80 games for failing his drug test. So.
Wow, that's your guy.
But that, you know. Yeah, I know. Another Mariner down the tubes. Frickin', I don't know what they're doing there. You know, first they kill me with Robinson Cano, and now Tim Beckham eats it for 80 games.
Oh, you don't forget, Steve Gordon, that was down in Miami.
Yeah. Yeah, he wasn't quite there. So, yeah, surprise. He probably went to the same doctor Alex Rodriguez did, or Ryan Braun, or whoever, you know.
I think that guy went to jail.
Yeah, won't surprise me if he's, you know, right back there when, you know, when things get going again. So. But yeah, I thought that was kind of humorous. I know a couple guys who had to fake drug tests. I had a roommate that, you know, his big thing was he very much liked the smoke weed, and you couldn't, you know, he had to take a drug test for his work. So he used, you know, he just used his brother's, you know, didn't think to use his girlfriend's or anything. So that was probably the best choice. But yeah, I don't know anybody who's tried to fake a drug test using urine from the opposite sex, except for this guy, and obviously it didn't work out. So. Oh. Holy cow, I didn't realize there were this many of these guys. I saw an interesting question on Intentional Talk, man. They wanted to know how many of the guys currently in the 20s for home runs would be in the 30s by the end of the month. But there are so many guys on there. I didn't realize there were this many guys in the 20s for home runs. So. I'm trying to count right now, and I'm at 27, and I've got another page to go. Okay, there's 41, and I got to turn the page. They just ended at 20. So, all right. Okay, Dan, there's 53 guys. We have 20 or more home runs currently, right? It's August 6th. By the time we get to September 1st, how many of these guys have a 30 in their home run total out of 53?
53.
So I actually want to put this down so I can remember. 33?
Yep.
So yeah, I knew home runs were up and it was a little crazy, but I didn't realize it was to that extent. I mean, so, you know, like, it's weird, you know, Marcelo Ozuna's just coming off the IL and he's at 20 home runs. So you know, and I know Mitch Garver was out for a little while with the Twins and he's at 20 home runs. Good Lord, Danny Santana has 21 home runs. How many home runs? Jeez. Does everybody hit home runs nowadays?
Pretty much.
So, holy cow. You know, and there are already six guys who are at 30 or 40 or more. Bullish is almost to 40. He needs one to get to 40. So, yeah, that's just it's just nuts this year. Did you see Pedro Martinez's explanation for the home run?
It's because the pitcher is batting or throwing so hard.
Actually, he went with he believes the baseball is smaller than what they used to use. So he thinks that's part of the or he believes that's the biggest reason for the upkeep, because, you know, the smaller ball will fly farther.
I I mean, does he have some old balls?
You know, I was looking to see if he had something or if they showed something, but, you know, I didn't see him holding a baseball or anything, so I don't know what they're doing, but, you know, we'll see. I'll have to look for it later, see if I can find it. Maybe I can post it. So, but yeah, they didn't have anything. So, that wasn't as. I caught an article here, Dan, that had the top 15 phone systems in baseball, but it was kind of boring. I thought it was going to be a little more fun than that. So I was like, yeah, okay, whatever. I was like, great, we don't want to talk about that. But I did see. Now, were you surprised? I don't even know if you've seen this because I only caught it a little later. But I saw that the Giants designated Joe Panic for assignment. Were you or are you surprised by that?
Sadly, no.
No, why not?
I really like this kid, so. I mean, he just wasn't performing. I mean, pull up his numbers.
I would have liked
to pull the next stop. I'm not going to count home runs, but I mean, I had him on my team, and I actually lost the faith and moved on from him.
Yeah, I know he's not a prototypical type of player in today's game. I mean, here's his numbers here. His career high in home runs is only 10. He was having a bit of a rough year. He was only hitting .235. He's a top defender. I mean, former Gold Glove winner. Do you think he surfaces somewhere as maybe a utility guy? I mean, he's only 28. As long as he can play like short or third and fill out the infield, you think there's a spot on a roster for him?
To kind of be a smart ass, I'm sure maybe the Cubs would take a look at him. They don't have.
Well, no, that's only after the Red Sox are going to look at him that the Cubs will look at him. So.
But he fits the profile. He can play second, and I mean that's all they go for right now. And guys can play second. So they don't have enough of them. You brought up the fact that Starlin Castro is most likely going to get bought out for $1 million by the Marlins. I don't see why he wouldn't end up down in Florida. KC's not getting rid of Whit Merrifield, but who knows what's going to happen. Maybe he could fill in there, like you said, at third.
Here's an interesting thing about him, Dan. His career high in strikeouts for a season. You ready for this one?
Mm-hmm.
Just 54.
Ooh.
So he's actually a rare player in today's game that puts the ball in play. He only struck out 38 times this year. He walked 36. So, while the average might be down, at least he's putting the ball in play. He can handle the bat. So, I think maybe if he can prove he can play the other spot, there might be a utility role for him. Or at least somebody takes a look at him, right, in camp this year.
Oh, yeah. No, I definitely think he's going to be on a team. Maybe he'll even show up in a Dodgers uniform. Or Padres. I don't know.
Of course, with the way this goes, sign with the Yankees and hit 20 home runs next year. But, there seems to be a lot of this, designating players for assignment. I saw the Nationals designated Kyle Bearclaw, I believe the A is pronounced. He looked like he was going to be the answer to their setup problems. He was coming off a couple pretty solid seasons with the Marlins. And if you do decently in Miami, you would like to think you could do pretty well you know, around. What is humorous, Dan, is the trade from October that got him. That he's traded by the Miami Marlins to the Washington Nationals for unknown compensation. So I have obviously no idea what they gave up, but I know he made a couple trips back and forth to the minors, 1-2 for the Nationals with a 6.66 ERA, Dan. So he is out of a job. I assume, like many other relievers, somebody will take bring him into the minor league camp and take a look at him. But what happened in the transition, Dan? I mean, he goes from being a decent pitcher on a crappy team to a crappy pitcher on a playoff contender. I mean, I don't think he could have got you out this year.
Oh, you know, maybe something mental. You know, 90% of the game is mental.
Yeah, you know, and I mean, we have seen players who, you know, don't perform well on you know, bigger stages. So, yeah, you wonder if maybe stepping up to the, you know, on a team that was expected to contend and is contending, a little too much pressure?
It's possible.
So, you know, but, yeah, you know, the sad part is I liked him in Miami. I think I actually had him the last couple seasons. And, you know, it just didn't – you know, he just was just didn't couldn't get it going this year. But, you know, like I was telling you about relievers who get recycled, it looks like Brad Boxberger's getting another shot after flaming out with the Royals. The Reds have signed him to a minor league deal. He was 1-3 in Kansas City with a 5.40 ERA in 29 games. So we'll see if the Reds can straighten him out into, obviously he'll be a setup guy, but you know, he had 32 saves in Arizona last year, and then one year in Tampa Bay, he actually led the league with 41. You know, and he was like our last pick in the money league for Mr. Fantasy and I, because I figured even bad closers in baseball get 30 saves. Yeah, he got one while we had him before I cut him. So, yeah, just didn't work out our way there. So much for my intelligence. But, yeah, it looks like, you know, the Reds will try to recycle him. And, you know, maybe we'll see him in September. He'll get a September call-up and see what kind of works out there. But, I you know, that was kind of my thought with Barraclough there was, you know, if Boxberger's going to get another look, you got to figure he's going to get one, right?
Oh, yeah.
So, but we – you know, we shall see. Oh, and here you go, Dan. I figured, you know, I'm trying to be the smartest guy in the room this week because it's crunch time in the money league. So I thought Jeff Samardzija was on the free agent market, and he's making two starts this week. So I grabbed him and I bring him into my lineup for Mr. Fantasy and I. Yeah, he goes like four innings, gives up three runs. Ends up losing us 2 points. So I do have one more start for him to make it up. I figured the Giants were playing good. They would support him. He got shut out last night. So, yeah, there's my – on the plus side, though, I did win $2.60 at FanDuel, where I didn't have Jeff Samardzija as my pitcher. I had Rick Porcello. So, yeah, I was just like, so much for being the smartest guy. And now I got to hope he has a bounce-back start so he's not a complete bust for us this week. But, yeah, I thought it was a good idea, but I guess not. You know, what the hell do I know? Because, yeah, I was trying to think. I don't remember who's next. I know he started against Washington last night. I don't remember who's next start again. It might be Philadelphia, and that was the start I was a little more concerned with.
No, you know, we missed a few days last week. It was a crazy week. the trade deadline hit, and, you know, we discussed yesterday mostly kind of big time on the run, just having to go that way. And, you know, a little bit of talk about the Indians acquiring Yasiel Puig, which I didn't understand. I don't understand the Indians whatsoever. So, but was there, you know, over the last couple of days, last week, what did you like or what didn't you like? Between those, you know, fallout trades.
Well, you know, like, you know, obviously the weird thing, like we mentioned it yesterday, was I didn't see the Mets or the Reds as buyers, but yet they both turned out to be buyers, and it's working out for the Mets. They've been rolling. So, you know, maybe they were smarter than all of us in hanging on to, you know, Syndergaard and Wheeler, who, you know, the experts had traded for. You know, they, I mean, those were two guys who were guaranteed to be moved, and neither one of them got dealt. So I thought that was kind of interesting that they added instead of basically subtracted. And I did hear a report that the Reds were actually under the impression that they were going to contend this year, and they believe their season was just kind of derailed by injury. So they wanted, you know, they weren't going to re-sign Puig anyway, so they turn him into Bauer, who they will have next year. He has one more year of control through arbitration. So, you know, they'll load up and see if they're ready to go again. But, you know, I don't know if Cleveland ends up with enough for him. I mean, I doubt they'll re-sign Puig because they're looking to, you know, to cut payroll. And I just don't know. I mean, in the end, the Padres will come out the best in that deal because they got all the minor league talent. You know, that was the one thing I did see. They had the number one rated system and just kind of added to it. So, you know, maybe in the end, when the deal's all said and done, they come out the best. But I'm a little confused with what the Indians did.
I mean, it's not like this season or even next year. Well, they could have come out to this plan. But, you know, next season, I just feel like they still had a huge opportunity and kind of figured these times. Puig, he's going to go on the market. So, I mean, are they just going to start completely tearing it down?
Well, you know, that's what I'm trying to figure out with them. And, you know, obviously this offseason is going to be a gigantic indication of what they're doing because I believe, I'm not sure how close, maybe I can get it here real quick if my internet wants to cooperate. But, you know, we're not too far off from Francisco Lindor reaching free agency. You know, and obviously he's going to be a big money player. Is Cleveland going to pony up that 7-year, $210 million deal to keep him? You know, do you see that happening? Because I don't think I do.
I don't either.
You know, so, obviously – you know, then you get to the point of do you ride it? You know, like he has, he's a free agent in 2022. So, you know, do you trade him this offseason where he's going to have huge value with another year of control? Or maybe hope he gives you a hometown discount?
I don't even think that's in the vocabulary for players at this stage anymore.
You know, because you're looking. I mean, Kluber has two option years on his contract. You know, I don't know. Does it say if he's got a? I don't know if he's got a buyout. You know, Kipnis is headed into an option year next year. you know, I know they would love to get out from under his salary. It goes up to $16.5 million next year, so they would love to see that one go away. You know, Carlos Santana is signed for a little over $20 million and has an option for 2021. You know, so it, you know, it's going to really be kind of interesting to see how they, you know, they ride this out or they play this out. But, you know, if they're going to rebuild, they got to dump some guys.
Well, I mean, one positive, they have Christian Arroyo.
Yeah, who I believe is hurt, right? Didn't he go on the IL after the
game? Yeah. I mean, I don't know. Again, I just don't understand what this team is doing. You know, like you said, they're stuck with Santana for another couple of years unless, you know, someone takes him. You said Kipnis is kind of on his way out. I think they'll move on from him. You know, but then again, their other second baseman is Kipnis' age, so it's not like you're getting younger at that position. You know, do they continue to roll with Jose Ramirez at third or move on from him when it's time? And, you know, maybe not next season, but Christian Arroyo comes up to play full time. You know, does that kid actually get the time?
Well, luckily for the Indians, Ramirez has got what would be considered a very friendly team contract. His you know, like, he's only making 4.15 this year. It goes to 6.65 next year and then 9.4 in 2021. He's got two option years after that, one at 11 and one at $13 million. So, you know, by today's salaries, he's a bargain.
You know, I guess my question, though, is, you know, depending on how he plays, do you keep him or try to, I don't know what you try to do. I mean, you've got decent pitching, but you gave away your number one. You know, Carrasco's on the 60-day. I don't know Cody Anderson's value with the team, but, you know, Corey Kluber's on the 60-day. You know, after that, I mean, you try to rebuild that pitching staff.
Yeah, well, you know, the pitching is a little weird. You know, like, Shane Bieber has been really good. You know, Mike Clevenger, if he can stay healthy, he can pitch well. And it looks like, you know, Zach Plesac is going to be a rotation guy as well. So you have three what look to be quality young guys in the rotation. I know Carrasco just signed a new deal. You got to figure if he gets healthy, he sticks around. You know, I guess the question is does Kluber go? And what, you know, what can you get for him? He, you know, he should have a couple of prove it starts here coming back from that elbow, you know, here to end the season. And I guess those are going to be big deals, right, to see if they can get any value for him, because you can get him for two more years. You know, he's got two club options for 20 and 21. So, you know, you gotta figure there's, you know, I mean, if he's healthy, you know, he is only going to be 34. So, you know, it's not like he's old. He shouldn't have any problems getting through the 2 years. And again, you know, it's $17.5 million next year and $18 million the year after that. You know, those aren't terrible numbers for Corey Kluber if he's healthy and he's Corey Kluber. So, you know, and you got to think it might be cheaper for a team to move a couple prospects and get Corey Kluber than to sign like a Madison Bumgarner who's going to, you know, really going to cost you, not, you know, years and money. So, you know, you've got to kind of weigh the options there. But, yeah, I don't know what this team's going to look like. I mean, you know, they have pieces to rebuild with. You know, obviously if they decide to move Lindor, they should get a boatload for him. You know, with the contract Ramirez is on, if they decided to remove him, you know, if they decided to deal him another guy, they could, you know, probably rake it in for. You know, Brad Hand has a lot of value to teams. He signed 2021. He's got an option. You know, again, if Kluber is healthy, so, you know, they could really go from, you know, a serious contender in the division, which they are now, on like a quick rebuild, because they have the – they really have the players to bring back the value that, you know, that other teams would be looking for. And you just wonder, you know, will they actually try to go full in? You know, you know, like they tried to do a little of it this off season, but I don't know how serious they were. You know, I don't know if they ever seriously talked to a team about moving Kluber. You know, there was a lot of Carrasco talk, and then he got a new deal. You know, Bauer obviously hung around till the trade deadline. So, you know, are they going to be serious and they're going to go all in and try to rebuild next year? Or, you know, do they kind of keep it together where they could still compete in a really bad AL Central? You know, I mean, the division is going to be any better next year. You know, like Dan said, the Twins will automatically go back down because it's an every other year thing. You know, the White Sox will probably be improved, but the Royals and the Tigers are still going to stink. So, you know, they could literally walk into the division. And, you know, it's just, you know, what will they decide in the off season? Which way will they go? You know, and the funny thing is, Dan, just think about it. If they could draw, you know, if their fans would show up, they would be legitimate contenders because they could actually go sign guys and they wouldn't have to deal guys.
Yeah, well, and sorry, I'm all thrown off. I had to park in a different spot, so I don't know where my car was. It's one of those days, Big Jack. You know, that's, you know, one of the things I was going to say to you was the hard thing with the rebuild. Do they really need to? You know, how do you go about that? Because, you know, the Cubs were kind of, I don't know if you want to put the Cubs and the Astros in that boat where they were, what's the word I'm looking for? Like the template, so to speak, where you tear it down completely and rebuild it. And, well, I personally don't think the Astros had much choice in tearing it down completely and rebuilding. I just think that's the situation they were in to begin with. But the Cubs did it, and, you know, it was supposed to be this great thing, and, you know, we're going to compete for the next blah, blah, blah for years to come. And then they make a playoffs 15 ahead of schedule, technically. Then they win the World Series, which was pretty damn awesome. I was glad to be able to see it in my lifetime. And then they, you know, come to last season. I'm skipping 17, but whatever. Come to last season, they get knocked out in a one-game decider. So it's like, how great was this overall rebuild when you're not really producing or performing the way you were implied to have been? And then you take a look at the Yankees, which is kind of where I like to go with the rebuild, quote unquote, was they didn't need to tear it down completely. They kind of let a couple guys go. Well, they knew one guy was coming back, which I, you know, pretty much helped shore up their bullpen. But at the same time, everyone was having them pegged as a team to sell. They sell a couple guys, and then the very next season, they're back in the run again. And without a complete tear down and rebuild and, you know, 4 years of 100 win loss or 100 losses, you know, they're kind of on the roll to definitely the ALCS, if not the World Series. So it's kind of hard in which boat do you go with. And I know, you know, 100% of the people are going to be like, yeah, yeah. Everyone who's not a Yankees fan is, you know, immediately in their head thinking, yeah, but they buy their teams. But then why aren't they over the threshold? I don't even think they're anywhere near it.
No, well, you know, and humorously, like, this Yankee team wasn't bought. You know, as much as everybody would like to say, oh, yeah, they spend. I mean, there aren't a ton of, you know, guys they spent on. I mean, remember, they didn't sign Giancarlo Stanton to that contract. All right? That was – they brought that over with him. You know, that had nothing to do with them. I mean, who was the big signing? Was it Aroldis Chapman? You know, to bring him back? Or, you know, yeah, I mean, you know, looking here, yeah, I mean, other than that, I mean, he's the only guy they really brought back. I mean, you know, they signed J.A. Hopp, who they traded for last year. They brought Britton back, who they traded for. You know, do you call DJ LeMahieu a big signing? I mean, he got 2 years at $24 million. That's not really huge. You know, they didn't spend a ton of money. So, yeah, I don't know. You know, what or how you kind of describe it, but they did, you know, they were very smart with what they did and, you know, how they handled it. I mean, obviously they still have Jacoby Ellsbury on their books. That seems to be the one albatross hanging around for them. But yeah, other than that, I mean, they've done just a really good job of, you know, going through anything. I mean, they had that 1 year where they knew they weren't going to win it, and they sold off a bunch of parts. And then they were able to turn around right away and get everything going again and start contending.
Almost immediately. And then even this trade deadline, they had pieces to move, and they didn't make a huge splash. And, I mean, I think you and I both just figured Clint Frazier was gone.
Yeah.
But yet, they still have key pieces in their system that they didn't even have to part with.
Yeah, I did realize, looking at the Yankee system, the way to describe it is it's very oddly rated. You know, like, they have a couple guys like Frazier and, God, I'm drawing a blank on the other guy. They have one more guy who's, like, really close to major league ready, and then all of their other really good prospects are, like, down in A-ball. So it's a weird farm system. While it always gets really well rated, you know, it's kind of the way they rate things. If you were to go through and individually rate it in class levels, you know, the only thing that would be getting higher ratings for them would be their Class A. So, it's kind of interesting.
Yeah, but with that, I mean, with that being said, though, for the Yankees, I mean, that's kind of where you want it, though, with the talent that you have up there now. You're really not expecting, you know, and stuff happens, you know, half your roster, more than half your roster goes on the IL. But, you know, where they're situated right now, you really don't need those guys to be, you know, coming up anytime soon. So they've got some time. I guess kind of, you know, coming full circle with it is, you know, we have our two kind of bases for quote-unquote rebuild, quote-unquote. I don't know why I keep saying on. For the rebuild, you have the Yankees kind of version. It's not even on the fly thing that the White Sox and Rickon's predecessor used to try to do, Kenny. But then you have, you know, the Cubs and Astros way where you just tear it down and crap on everything for a couple years, up to five. And then you bring everyone all up And then 5 years after that, they all have to be resigned. So you're, you know, biting your fingernails and hoping that you're the GM / president that still has a job after that time period. You just throw your eggs in one basket. You know, and when you're the Indians, you know, where do you fall into that? And like we discussed, you know, like you said, the division isn't that great. And I don't think it's going to be that much better next year with the White Sox and the Royals. I'm not knocking the White Sox. I still think the team's learning and working. I don't think they're going to be taking over that division next year unless they go out and sign, you know, some magical pieces that really boost them. But the Indians can so quickly turn it around and be back in first place and on a playoff run next season. But like you said, which way are they going to go? Are they going to just sell everything that they have to kind of work with the young guys? Or, you know, I guess that's the big question.
Yeah, well, you know, then the, you know, the, yeah, the other difficult part with this, if you're Cleveland, is you can't get people to show up when you're a winner. If you tear it completely down and you decide that you're going to lose 100 games a season, what the hell happens to your attendance?
Well, and it's not like you have Jerry Reinsdorf as your owner where you negotiate a deal where the state pays for the stadium, and as long as you don't draw 2-3 million people, you don't have to pay your lease.
Right. You know, that, and, you know, that's always the, you know, the tough thing you got to remember. See, like when the Astros rebuilt, they were losing and weren't drawing anyway. So you may as well rebuild it. You know, the Cubs were considered, I mean, what was the tagline? They were lovable losers.
Yeah.
So when they tore it down, the fans still showed up all the way right up until that last year. I think they lost 100 games was when the attendance took a little bit of a hit. But then they started winning after that. Everybody came back. Now the ballpark sold out every night. So, you know, they didn't really take any kind of big hit. You know, even you look at the White Sox tear down. Well, we've been over it and over it. Nobody goes to the damn games. Why not tear it down? You know, they're probably drawing better with what they've got now than they were doing those small little tweaks to try to win. But, you know, Cleveland, again, I mean, we're looking at a team that's been winning, been to the playoffs, made a trip to the World Series, and still is like the 20th or 25th best drawing team in baseball. You would think they would support a winner, right? You know, is, you know, like, obviously I don't know, you know, I'm not an economics guy. Is the economy bad in Cleveland? You know, I want to see if I can find it here, if it's on this site, or if I'm going to have to go search for it someplace else. But what are ticket prices for Indians games? Here it looks like tickets as low as $26. I don't know how that ranked with everybody else, but, you know, I mean, that's not terrible. I don't know, obviously, where these $26 tickets are. I'm, you know, they're not the best seats in the house, but, I mean, that seems kind of like right on line with what you would pay for any other game, right? Did I kill Dan? Dan would know. Where the heck is Dan? So, yeah, 26, 27, 35, you know, and then it, you know, obviously it goes up. The biggest one is 72 for first base, field box first base. So, I mean, it's not terrible. At least it doesn't seem terrible. Again, can I find where... You know, yeah, just, I don't know. Like I said, nobody seems to want to go to these games. So, you know, if you're the Indians, what do you do, or what can you do? You know, you, you know, I'd have to honestly wonder if they're making any money, you know, as a team. I mean, I know they're going to show losses as always for, you know, tax purposes or whatever, but yeah, you know, with a team like that, you almost have to kind of legitimately wonder, you know, what the issue is or why you just can't seem to get, you know, teams to, you know, people to go to the games. So, yeah, can you, you know, anybody explain it? You know, anybody out there knows, you know, we would love to hear from you, Cleveland. Let us know what the, you know, what the deal is there.
Now, did you say they're 25th on the attendance?
I, you know, I was guessing. They're like, you know, they're always in between like 20 and 25 and stuff like that. So let me pull up the numbers here and get a better feel for what that is.
Don't ask Joking Noah. We already know how he feels about Cleveland.
Let's see. This is 2019. Yeah, it looks like they're okay. Right now they sit 23rd out of 30th. They average a little under 21,000 per game.
I mean, those aren't terrible numbers.
Well, 23rd out of 30 isn't great.
No. I mean, the 20,000, at least they're, you know, able to draw more than a standard NBA or hockey stadium.
So, you know, but yeah, it's just, you know, the only teams behind them are Pittsburgh, Detroit, Oakland, Kansas City, Baltimore, Tampa Bay, and Miami. And, you know, Oakland, that's the other thing I'd love to know what's going on there. You know, they've given you a playoff team in what looks to be back-to-back years, and they don't show up either. You know.
Yeah, you know, and
but
it's,
yet they
it's
would
interesting because you can.
If they were losing, they'd be flying.
Yeah. Well, and it's interesting because you can make the case about the area being not so great and whatever other excuses you have. But I'll be damned if the Warriors didn't sell out for the last 4 or 5 years.
Right. So.
I mean, it's only, what, 40 more games, 40 more home games.
Yeah, you know, and this is through, I don't know how many games Cleveland has played, but this is through 59 games. So, you know, it may, obviously it's a little different now because they're much farther than 59. So, but yeah, I.
Fine, yeah. They need to get rid of that damn drum.
Yeah, well, you know, at least there's plenty of room for it, right? So.
Yeah, I guess that's true. I mean, when
you
do
know,
they get to the point where they start pulling a Tampa Bay and start eliminating seats?
Yeah, I don't know. You know, I was talking about this. I think you were on break. You know, they have $26 as their lowest ticket price. Is that reasonable? Obviously, you go much to more games than I do. So, is that a respectable ticket price, or is that high or low, or?
I mean, it depends where you're sitting. I think you can get, you know, $20 tickets at Wrigley to sit way up in the nosebleeds. And I'm not going to tell you that I'm above that sitting up there. I wish there was a good pun for that. Me personally, I just can't walk all the way up there anymore. I need a lift. I need someone to bring me up there. I can't do that anymore. But you know, it's not a horrible price, but, you know, here in Chicago, I could still go to a Sox game for much cheaper. But, you know, and they're kind of on the same level. Because Cleveland's kind of thrown in the towel, so it's not like you're expecting them to win. So, but it's not a horrible price.
I mean, it didn't seem terrible, but like I said, I don't go to enough to know you know, what was going on.
But just knowing the way they, what their draw is, you know, that's something I look into when trying to travel and see some of these teams. Of course, I would love to go to Cubs versus whoever's in town, you know, whatever town they're in. But that automatically adds to the ticket price. And the one thing I've learned is it's kind of a little bit better to go to an area where the team isn't doing that great because you don't have to be locked in. You know, when I visited my father-in-law in Tampa, I wanted to go on that Sunday, the day after we arrived, because I just was like, oh, it's, you know, then we have more days, whatever. Only to realize it was Easter and, you know, that goes with families and whatnot. But, you know, the best part about it was when I was going down there, I knew I didn't have to buy tickets till we got there. And then I don't remember exactly what the cost was per ticket. But whatever he told me, I ended up not paying that price for the ticket. So they kind of tell you what sections and what the cost is. And then my tickets were actually cheaper. I think with, you know, the taxes and everything for four tickets, we paid like $70. So it wasn't horrible. But I also had handicapped seats, so you got better chairs.
I don't know
if they added on a $5 for those chairs. They had really nice cushions. I'm not going to lie about that part. But, you know, even with Comiskey or G-Rate Field now, it's, you can definitely show up to Wrigley and kind of buy your ticket there. You know, if you go sit in the bleachers, you know, you've definitely got to get there early. There's not going to be a seat. But, you know, if you're a standing room only kind of person, hey, it doesn't matter. You're there to socialize. But with, you know, the Cell or G-Rate, it's just so easy to go there. Because there isn't a whole lot of people. And, you know, of course, my father-in-law is one of those diehard Cub fans and, you know, made the joke, oh, were you the only two in the parking lot? Yeah, you know, stuff like that. And, but, you know, it's nice because you can just show up, get tickets, and basically sit where you want. And that's kind of what the deal was in Tampa. You know, that's not great for the team, though.
No, yeah, definitely not.
You know, as an owner, you know, that's not how I would want my team be known, what my team to be known for. But I guess you don't have to pay your lease.
Yeah, it just kind of, you know, just kind of depends, you know, how the, you know, how the team is or how it goes or, you know, where you are. I mean, you know, you do wonder, I mean, you know, we talked about a couple teams, I mean, that are winning and can't get fans to show up. I mean, what more do you do?
Yeah, I mean, the only game that sold out for Oakland this year was the game versus the White Sox. It was, what, the 50th anniversary game or something like that, where they had the throwback unis. The White Sox kind of threw me off because it was, like, blue uniforms, so that was interesting. But they sold out. Why did they sell out? Because they gave away all their tickets for free.
Yeah. So, but yeah, you know, I don't know. You know, and I know, you know, as ballparks go, that ballpark is bad. You know, so at least, you know, they're getting the new one and maybe that'll help out there. But
well,
yeah,
even that's I'm still not. Still haven't read any confirmation on what exactly is going on with Oakland. You know, are they redoing the Coliseum or are they being able to move or, you know, I don't know what's going on.
Apparently, you know, from what I've seen, they're moving. So, you know, it's going to be a whole new stadium.
You'll have to share that to Sports Time Radio on Twitter and Facebook.
Yeah, I haven't seen, you know, I saw the plans pop up once, and I think I did post them.
Yeah.
But
well,
I'll
just
have to look
the
and
last
see
one.
If there's been anything updated or anything like that.
Yeah, it's so difficult, because, I mean, even – that was one of the reasons I wanted to go down. Well, you know, my father-in-law's kind of on his last leg, if you get my drift there. So my wife really wanted to go down there. He came up here. But, you know, in a perfect world, I was like, we're waiting 2 more years. She's like, why? I go, because in 2021 is when the Tampa Bay Rays new stadium is going to open. And then, you know, 5-6 months later, I'm reading that was X'd out. You know, the state or Tampa or whoever, is the public is not going to fund them a new stadium for 1,000 people to show up. You know, maybe 10,000 if you're lucky over 2 weeks. So I was like, well, I guess it doesn't matter when we go now because they're not getting the new stadium. But, you know, and that's the markets, you know, like Tampa, even Oakland. You know, I saw renderings for the reconstruction of whatever they call the Coliseum now, you know, once the Raiders were completely out of there. But, you know, like you said, and I've also heard that they were going to move too. You know, you kind of wonder what actually is going to happen because the Warriors are moving out. I forgot where they're moving to, but they're not going to be in whatever that stadium was called, which shared a like a parking lot or whatever with the A's. So, you know, do they get a new stadium because they're knocking down, you know, the Warriors' old stadium? You know, so it'll be very interesting to see what they do with it.
So, yeah, and, you know, again, will it help them draw, you know, if they get the new stadium?
You know, and the other thing, and I guess I haven't really looked into, was, you know, public transportation access. You know, from what I understood, it wasn't, you know, wasn't easy way to get there. You had to drive. And I think that's one of the problems with, you know, Tampa is you pretty much have to drive unless you're staying down there in the city. You know, the White Sox, you don't have to drive. Whether you're, I mean, you know, however it comes up with this stuff was 30 years behind. They should have had a train stop 30 years ago for White Sox fans, which didn't appear until, you know, within the last decade. You know, but that's one of the things with the Cubs that makes it easy for them. They're a local attraction in that neighborhood. You know, one of the things San Francisco did to get out of the stadium that I really wanted to see, but they knocked down already, was they moved into the city, you know, the downtown area. They're not too far from the financial district. You're like, I think, a 15, 20-minute Uber ride from the financial district, which is where everyone supposedly stays. If you're crazy like me and stay on the wrong side under the bridge, you're a 10-15 minute walk from the stadium. Yeah, I'm pretty risky. My wife didn't want to do an Airbnb, so we stayed in an interesting motel. The sheets were clean. And it's definitely interesting when the guy who checks you in, checks you out, lives there. So just put that into perspective. But, you know, that was one of the things that they focused on was public transportation and being able to get all their fans there. You know, once that stadium was built, you know, then AT&T Park, and you've got to wonder, did that have a huge effect on why, the World Series wins didn't help that any either. But, you know, with the public transportation, the World Series, is that why they were selling out for, you know, what was it, like 6 years in a row?
Yeah, well, you know, and I mean, obviously, public transportation has to be a consideration in, you know, today's world. You know, it's got to be an easy venue for people to get to, or, you know, a lot of people aren't going to go.
No, because Candlestick Park, that's what I was trying to name, was kind of out there. And it was from where we stayed in downtown San Francisco, it was a good 20, 30 minutes, I think. I don't remember exactly. We had some really creepy bus driver for a bus shuttle. Go corporate when you do bus shuttles. I'm telling you, go corporate. Of course, Ham Radio.